Are you ready for the Word? John chapter 10. Father, I ask you, Lord God, to take this message tonight where you need it to go. That every life in here is touched by your Spirit and by your Word. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Let's start at verse 1. Verily, verily, this is Jesus speaking, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now here Jesus is saying, he is the door that you go in and out of. He says, I'm the door. And he's the shepherd. He is the good shepherd leading his sheep. Amen. And he says here, my sheep know my voice and they follow me, and a stranger they'll not follow. And he says there is a legal way, a proper way to go in and out. Do you follow me? He says you must go through the door. There's no other way. That's the only access to the things the shepherd has to provide. The shepherd provides some things for the sheep, right? He leads them to green pastures. We have all of Psalm 23 to tell us what the shepherd provides. He protects them. Amen. He watches over them by night. And it says here, if you want that in your life, there's a proper fashion to go about accessing it. You must go through the door, and you must listen to the voice of the shepherd. Too many people want to take shortcuts to what they think is going to be a blessing, or what they think is going to be fun. And they're violating the principles by which God said you can access the blessing. If you look at verse 10, Jesus says, for the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And in fact, in the Greek, it actually says that they might have life and they might have abundance. Jesus said, I've come to give you good. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you choose what system you will live under. The blessing system or the having everything you have taken away from you system. The increased system or the diminishing system. And Jesus says you choose which door you'll try to go through, whether you go through it properly or not, and whose voice you will follow. Amen. I want you to know there is no other way to blessing in life, to true fun in life, to true success in life, other than through Jesus. There is no other door. Don't consider listening to the voices that will try to tell you, oh, church isn't fun, that's not producing, try this in your life. It will kill you. It will destroy you, and it will take everything you have. Amen. Including your reputation, including your ability even to have fun. I have fun. I have a lot of fun. But I get to do it properly. I get to do it legally according to the Word of God. Are you following me? But I've seen a lot of people that because they sold out to the wrong voice, they tried to go through the wrong doors, they've actually lost their entire ability to have fun in life. Because their life has become so diminished, so deteriorated, that they can no longer enjoy life because the enemy has brought them to such a low point. Choose now to keep going through the right door. Choose now to do it God's way and watch God promote you to the place of eternal bliss. Blessings unlimited. Amen. Overflowing joy. I tell you what, I just have to pinch myself sometimes to make sure I'm awake because I am so blessed. Amen. Sometimes I pinch Patty just to make sure she's awake because she's blessed too. I was looking at Facebook today, and I got over on her page looking at some of the pictures of her. And I'm looking at pictures of my wife going, I am blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. God's blessed me. But we're doing it according to His ways. Amen. We're sowing our life as a seed into the kingdom of God and watching God bring back the harvest. And anybody can apply themselves to the same principles. Called into ministry or not, you are called to follow God and allow God to overflow you with goodness. And He will do it. God's not coming to make you miserable. The thief is trying to make you miserable. And his number one weapon against God's people is to slap God's people and say, God did it. You follow me? The devil's number one weapon is to attack a Christian and say, God's doing this to you. Or it's because you're following God, this is happening to you. Well, to some level, that's true, because you start following God, the devil's going to target you. But that's because you became a threat. But to not go after God is to live in defeat automatically. I'd rather fight some battles and win and enjoy life versus give way to having no life. And He will steal everything you have and leave you a broken down, empty shell of a person. Do you follow me? And so God says there's a blessing I have for you to receive, but you have to know about how to go after it. You have to know how to receive His blessing. You have to know how to position yourself for God's blessing. Because the enemy is always trying to lay out a temptation, a tasty morsel for your life to say, if you'll just follow this, if you just bite into this, if you just give way to this temptation, you can have so much fun and it will take you out of the program God has to really get you to the blessings of God. Amen. It's kind of like the story of the tortoise and hare. The enemy is always trying to get you to play hare, you know? Trying to get you to run over here and run over here and do this and that. And God says, just stay the course. Just keep going toward the goal line. And as we said earlier, anointing happens. Just keep developing yourself. Just keep confessing the word. Just keep increasing in your relationship with God, and blessings overtake you. And they may be subtle, it may be slow, but guess what? You get there. An enemy is a master trying to offer you shortcuts to get you to have some fun. If you just sell out here, we'll let you have all this, and all you do is allow the enemy to create strongholds in your life to keep you in more captivity. Amen? To position you to lose everything. Now, with that in mind, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we know that God's bringing forth His glory in the end times, right? And we know He's bringing it to a people that will live by faith. Understand, the people of the vision or the just shall live by faith. Paul, at least in the New Testament, it's quoted three times, for the just shall live by faith. That word live has to do with experiencing all the blessings of God. The righteous shall access all the blessings of God by faith. God's laid up all this goodness for us, all this supply. He's got all this harvest He wants us to partake of. Amen. To demonstrate His goodness. And He says, if you'll partake of these blessings, you can have the God kind of life. But you're going to access them by faith. You're going to access them by getting in the Word, finding out what I promised, and speaking those promises over your life. Refusing to look at the natural temporary circumstances the enemy will lift up before you, and declare what the Word says instead. And God says, if you'll stand on my Word, amen, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Right? Whatever you desire, whatever you need, speak the Word. God says, I'll back up the Word and I will manifest it. Now, there may be a time frame between when you think you need it before it manifests, but if you'll stay the course, it will manifest. And you will be increased, blessed, and prosperous. If you don't do it God's way and try to take a shortcut, you'll probably never get there and end up moving backwards instead. The The just living by faith are people that have learned to live in this system of faith. It doesn't say the just shall experiment with faith. The just shall use faith now and then. The just shall access use something by faith in an emergency. That's when most people try to call on faith. It's, oh God, things are collapsing. I guess I better believe you. No, the just shall live in. You're going to live in this realm, in this kingdom of faith. John 15, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit, right? To paraphrase, you know, that passage. He says, abide in me. As the vine cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide, you know, or the branch can't bear fruit unless it abide in the vine, neither can you. You can't get anything without abiding in Christ. That's living in faith. To abide in the vine is to live in God's system of provision, His system of blessing, His way of doing things. Amen. Which really is just believing the Word. Having a relationship with Jesus through having a relationship in the Word. Your relationship with God will never outdistance your relationship with the Word. Did you follow me? You can never go further in faith than you have time in the Word. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You must fall in love with the Word of God as God's voice unto you. His promises unto you. His blessings provided for you. And we're to be the just that live in this connection with God. That live in this realm of supernatural provision. You can live in the realm of the natural. Or you can live and have access to the realm of the supernatural. God wants us to live out of the supernatural. And through the supernatural connection we have, affect the natural. And the just shall live in the realm of being connected to the Word. The just shall live in the realm of what believing the Word produces. You can have peace in your life at all times if you're connected to the promise of peace in the Word. You can have joy available at any time. You can overcome any circumstance, any situation by the power in the Word if you choose to live in that realm. Amen? And the realm you live in is created by what you'll believe out of the Word. Hope you guys are following me on this because I'm just kind of going out where, you know, we're being led right now. You will live in the realm under the conditions, under the atmosphere and environment that you produce over your life to the level you'll believe and speak the Word. The Word will produce for you a whole new environment to live out of. And the just you'll live in, out of and through the realm and environment they create by believing what God has said. No faith in the Word, no new realm created over your life. It's available, but you've not stepped into it. And we're to be the just that live in this realm of believing the Word. We live by it. Everything we do in life, we are aware of the need to do it by faith. Amen. And how you're going to come up against offers or opportunities to react out of the natural when you know the better is to react in faith. And you'll have to choose to act out of faith. Amen. We'll look at this as we go forth into this. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for you walk by faith and not by sight. Right? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we've been talking about walking by faith. We've been talking about just the process of walking itself. And science has known for years that walking is actually a series of controlled falls. When you go to walk in the natural, you will be normally in a stable, balanced position. We would call it secure, safe. And then to walk, you actually shift your center of gravity out where you're no longer in a safe, balanced position. Where it looks like you're moving out of balance into imbalance. And what happens is you actually begin to fall. Amen. Walking is actually the process of moving out of a balanced position to a place of a fall. And then knowing your other foot as you move it out is going to catch you in that fall. Did you follow me? And that's what living by faith is like. You move off of what looks like a safe place where you've got everything figured out. Everything's nice and comfy. And then God says, no, I need you to stretch here. I need you to move off your safe spot. Believe my word to be your provision, to be what catches you versus your own strength. And you move off that safe position into a place where I'm going to believe God with my life, with my circumstances, with my relationships, with my money, with my health. And I'm going to move to what looks like an unsafe position, but God says, don't worry, I'm going to catch you as you step. And then you keep moving in that realm of faith. You step out and you believe God for healing. Then you step out and believing for provision. You step out and believing for the love of God in your life, the peace of God in your life. And what happens is you start progressing and going through the cycle of developing your faith, and growth develops. Growth happens. Anointing happens. But see, if you never move off the balanced position to move into a deeper level of faith, you stay in what you think is safe, then you never go anywhere. No walking by faith represents no progress in life. Progress, growth, and development are the direct result of moving out of what looks like a safe place that the enemy will convince you is a safe place into the place where you believe the word, you speak the word, you live based on what the word says into what looks like to the world silliness. Amen. The Bible calls it, the world says it looks like foolishness. And you step out and you watch God's promises uphold you every step of the way. And you start progressing into the things of the kingdom. And understand, you can actually accelerate your walking to the place you're running in the Spirit. And it says in Habakkuk chapter 2 that God says, whoever reads the vision of the glory of God should run toward the vision. God's raising up people in the end times that will accelerate their walking by faith into a place of running after all God's made available. They're taking their whole life and placing it in the Word of God, saying, God, let's do everything you've laid before us. And let's do it quick. And what's happening, you're accelerating into the glory. Your anointing is moving from little steps to big growth spurts to miracle moves of God. Why? You're believing God at higher levels. You've laid it all on the line. You're not just experimenting with faith. You are now living by faith. And what we've been doing over the past weeks is we've been looking through the scriptures where it talks about walking. And understanding when it talks about walking in the scriptures, talking about a form of transportation. Amen. A form of going from one place to another. And understand anytime God wants you to go from one place to another, you're to do it by faith. Anytime you do anything in the kingdom, God wants you to do it by faith. He wants you to do it according to the word, believing in the blessings of the word, the blessings of believing the word, right? The blessings of following the word. He wants us to walk, to progress, to live by faith. So we've been going through the scriptures, looking at the word walk and filling it in with the understanding of walk by faith. Amen? For we walk by faith and not by sight. And hopefully we'll finish off this series tonight. You never know. But I want to go to quite a few verses tonight that deal with the concept or subject of walking and touch on what it means to us as those that are going to live by faith. So turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I tell you what, hold this, but I have to go back to Galatians chapter 5. Just to set the course for where we're going. Galatians chapter 5. And let's just go to verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if you're going to live in this realm that God would have you live in, you're going to live out of the Spirit, right? Then God says you got to progress in it. If you're going to live in it, then advance in it. In other words, if you live in the Spirit, you're in this realm of God, then also advance in it. Walk in it. I mean, what's the difference between living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Living means to be positioned in. Walking means to progress. Did you follow me? And understand, you'll not be in the Spirit realm, live in that realm, beyond your faith connection to that realm. So if we're to live by faith, we should also walk by faith. If we're going to be in this kingdom realm called the church, We should be advancing in this realm called the church. We should be growing our faith, fueling our faith. Amen? Finding out what God has for us to do and going from one place or one state of existing in the kingdom to a higher state or place of existing and operating in the kingdom. God never wants His people to stay the same. He wants us to advance. He wants us to develop. He wants your anointing to go out the roof, off the scale. Amen? We are to be those that live out of the kingdom. God wants to develop us to the point we're more aware of God's provision and blessing than we are the natural realm's ability to provide. Let me say that again. As you advance in the kingdom, I'm telling you, you will become more confident and dependent upon the power of the seed you sow than your own ability to produce. You will believe that if you sow the seed and you speak the word, it will manifest above your own ability to accomplish. Amen? Now, God will have you do something. He that won't work, He won't eat either. You follow me? I saw the cutest cartoon on Facebook this morning. It was a little kid dressed up for Halloween. Did anybody see this? And they put him on ragged clothes, flannel shirt and on ragged clothes and jeans and everything. And he put an old hat on him and painted his face like he had a beard. And they made a cardboard. I mean, the kid's only like three. They made him a cardboard sign and wrote it in rough letters, "We'll work for candy." That was his Halloween costume. I loved it. Glory to God. So he comes to my house, I'm going to mow the grass. Hallelujah. Give him two Snicker bars. We're to advance in the kingdom of God. Amen? So with that in mind, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at some of the things we've got to do walking by faith. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works." Now understand, you're saved by grace, but then you still do good works. Not to access salvation, that was accessed by the blood. But God saved you to do good. And you continually in your life will be posed with a decision. Do you want to do good or do you want to do bad? Do you want to do good and trust in God's ability to reward you? Or do bad and trust in your own ability to take from other people? Did you follow me on that? Your whole day, your whole life will have decisions to be made. Do you want to take advantage of people or do you want to bless people? Amen. Are people your for you to take advantage of, or people there for you to bless? He says, "We are His workmanship, created unto good works, before ordained that we should walk in them." You cannot live in the lifestyle of being a good deed doer, which is really a life of being a seed that you're sowing. When you live your life to be a seed you're sowing on behalf of other people, not to be taken advantage of, but you're sowing your life to be a blessing. When you live your life to be a blessing to other people, you're taking yourself as a seed and you're sowing yourself into the soil of other people's lives. And it's going to take faith. It's going to take faith because the enemy's going to tell you that you're just being taken advantage of. People are using you. Nobody's appreciating you. Amen. You didn't get anything. You helped them all day and they didn't give you a single thing. And you'll have to cast that down. Because you're going to have to be able to say, "I'm sowing this into God's system blessing, not in man's ability to repay. I'm not doing this so they'll give me something in return." That would be manipulation or labor or works. I'm doing this, sowing my activities as a seed of love and of blessing, expecting my anointing to increase and a harvest to come back into my life. God so loved the world, He gave His best seed. And when you sow your life into the kingdom, into being a blessing to other people, you are positioning yourself, if you believe for it, for the love of God to manifest in your life. God so loved He gave. Giving is the seed for love. So when you sow your life as a seed in other people's life, you have a right by faith to say, Father, I receive the anointing of love on me, in my life, in my walk, and a harvest of people being a blessing to me as well. Why? You're sowing yourself as a seed. But it's going to take faith. And you're to live your life as a seed sown into other people's lives. I attempt to live my life as being a seed. I attempt to bless everybody that I can, everybody I come in contact with, to some level, unless I think they're just trying to con me. Then I'll shut things down quicker and you can blink. Amen. Because I'm not going to be used. I'm not going to have my love be used by the devil to fuel his system. But I'm going to live my life as a seed to bless those that have need. Do you follow me? And I don't want to just do it now and then. I want to live in that realm, in that mindset of being a seed. Because the level I can do that means I'm connected to the kingdom by faith and have a right to live in the anointing. Did you follow me? The enemy will attack you over and over again. Don't let anybody get too close. Don't let anybody, don't try to do too much for something. They'll take advantage of you. They'll take you for granted. So what? Does the seed say to the soil, you're taking advantage of me? You know, when a seed is planted, did you know the chemicals in the soil destroy the seed? That's actually how a seed germinates. When you sow a seed, the tannic acid in the soil and the other chemicals in the soil actually attack and destroy the outer shell of the seed to allow the inner life of the seed to spring forth. It's all kept contained until the soil destroys the outer shell of the seed. So don't be concerned that those you're being a blessing to may not be fully appreciating you you may feel like you're not getting any reward from them. It doesn't matter. They're releasing the life of God within you to come forth and bring forth a harvest. Allow yourself to become a seed. Choose to live in the process of walking by faith. And as you do so, you'll be progressing in the kingdom and getting to your end goal. And what's your end goal? Mine is to live in the glory. Mine is to fulfill the high call of God. Mine is to bring every person to the kingdom that I can. But my overall goal is to live in the glory and take everybody in that I can. Amen? But I know I don't get to the glory unless I first become a person who will walk by faith that direction. And to walk by faith that direction means I become a good deed doer. I become a person that is a blesser. I have to talk about me because I'm my best example. I mean, I know most about me, right? There's probably better examples I could use, but I'm the one I know the most. I have to choose to love everybody I come in contact with. Amen? And as I come into a relationship with people, as I spend time talking with them or communicating, I'm looking for what can I do to help them. For the most part. You follow me? I'm thinking, what can I do to be of assistance? What can I do to provide into their situation within limits? Understand, I can't come and fix everybody's car. I've tried that in the past. I can't come and repair everybody's house. But I can as God directs me in certain areas. I can fix somebody's car if God tells me to, you follow me? So, I can't say, oh, they have all these needs, I got to go fix everything. I have to also understand I've got responsibilities and assignments of my own. But to my ability that I have, if I can be a blessing, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to give a word of exhortation. I'm going to give a word of encouragement. I'm going to give a word of direction or wisdom where I can to aid somebody versus walk around bitter, hard-hearted, distrusting, and skeptical of everybody I come in contact with. I don't have to believe in everybody's perfection to bless them. Again, the seed doesn't expect perfection from the soil. Amen. It just wants to be sown in it. We are the just that are to live by faith. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, beseech you, I plead with you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now here Paul says, I'm attempting to fulfill my high call. That's what he's saying in verse 1. I want to fulfill my high call, my vocation, wherewith I'm called, as I walk into it. I want to walk worthy, which means you're going to do it by the rules. Amen? Which means you're going to do it by faith. Paul says, I want to walk in a fashion that I can fulfill God's call on my life. Now, we've talked about it many times, but whatever God's called you is going to take faith. Amen. It's going to take more wisdom, finances, strength, and provision than you possess. Whatever God calls you to, it's going to take your faith. Amen. And Paul says, I want to use my faith to fulfill this call. And then he starts getting specific. I'm going to use my faith to walk in meekness, lowliness, forbearing one another in love. In other words, I'm not going to let my flesh rise up and get me full of pride. I'm going to use my faith to keep it under check, right? And I'm going to put other people ahead of me as I sow myself as a love seed. I'm going to walk in the love of God by faith. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but I just want to make this point. Is in my, 1991, September of 1991, I was seeking God what to preach on. My second sermon I'd ever done, and he said, preach on love. And when I did, he says, and you'll be preaching from love until the rapture takes place. You'll be teaching on this subject. No, till your ministry is done. And I have discovered that it takes less faith to manifest finances and divine healing than it does to walk in love. It's easier to walk in divine healing than it is to walk in love. Supernatural manifestation of love. The devil hates that you're healed, but he's in terror of love. He's in terror of a united body, a united church. Amen? He knows if two or more agree, he's finished. So he doesn't like that you're healed, but one healed person is not a major threat. But 100 healed people in unity, he's in trouble. So he attacks love and mindsets of love above everything else. He spent his entire life bringing the people of God into distrust of one another, fear of being used, hurt feelings, bitterness, skepticism, anger, isolation, all in the body that's supposed to be united by love. Understand, when I say love, I'm talking about supernatural love. I'm talking about the love of God that destroys strife and removes offense and unites us together supernaturally. The enemy hates it. And that's why in most of the church we've seen so little of it. I can go to charismatic full gospel churches and teach about the anointing of love, and people go, do what? What's that? Because they've never experienced it. It's easier to manifest supernatural healing than supernatural love. Intentionally, it is. Because when you're manifesting supernatural healing, you're dealing with physical flesh pain, physical flesh symptoms, that you have to combat the pain of those symptoms to go through into healing. Do you follow that? But when you're battling for supernatural love, you're going through emotional pain. No matter how much physical pain you're in, you always want to be healed. I don't care how much pain I've ever been in. I've said, yeah, I want to be healed. I receive healing for that. I have a headache, migraine, backache. I receive healing. I'm ready to be healed. I've never said, I'm kind of enjoying this life here. I think I'll just stay right here. But when you're dealing with relationships and those are attacked and hurt moves in, you can go to the point you don't want the relationship fixed. You don't want to speak to them anymore. You don't want to bless them anymore. You don't want to be around them anymore. You don't want to go to that church anymore. Why? Because attacks against relationships are fueled in the realm of emotion and the hurt that comes with that. And the enemy knows that if he can get you hurt against someone, you will not take the steps necessary in faith to fix that relationship. And you want a relationship fixed, you want it to be filled with love, you have to sow yourself as a love seed into that relationship. I'm talking to somebody right now, I know I am. You want a relationship fixed, you have to treat yourself as a seed and say, I'm sowing myself as a seed, dead to self but alive in Christ, into this relationship, that love may be supernaturally manifested, that we will be in love. And until you can go through emotional hurt and rejection, bitterness, and all the other things that go with it, you'll never step into supernatural love. It's easier to walk in natural healing. I'm talking about supernatural healing than supernatural love. And few are doing it. Because we learned all of our life to put up walls to protect ourselves. And love cannot manifest through a person that surrounded themselves with the walls. You, by faith, first have to tear down the walls, and I'm willing to be hurt again. Did you follow that? That's a whole other set of sermons we could do. I just want to give you the gist of it. Walking by faith into the love of God is going to take all the faith you have. Amen. All the determination. Amen. To treat yourself as that love seed. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Anybody want to follow God? Be like God. And then he says, and walk in love. As Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Did you see this? He says, if you want to be like God, then use your faith to progress in love. Walk in love. As Christ loved you and laid himself down as a love seed for you. He sowed himself beyond all the rejection, all the people crying, crucify, all the disciples running to, you know, for safety, Peter denying him 3 times. Through all that, he still sowed himself as a love seed, that love might be released on this planet. And he says, you do the same thing if you want to be like God. Treat yourself as a seed that you're sowing into people's lives, regardless of how they treat you. Amen. To restore covenant relationships. And then he says, but fornication and all that goes with it, don't let it even be named in your midst. You cannot access the things of the kingdom and dwell in the things of the kingdom and do the things of the flesh. Well, I'm under grace. You're under deception. God requires you to put some stuff down. Amen? Let's go down to verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He's just gone through this list of all these works of the flesh. And he says, don't let anybody deceive you. Like, the teachings that are coming about now about, you know, God's unlimited grace, you can do what you want to do and God's grace covers it. That's deception. Amen? He says with vain words. Verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them, but ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in the illumination that God's given to you. Amen? And knowing that walking has to do with faith means when God shows you a promise in the Bible, go after it. Do it God's way. Refuse to follow the leading of the flesh. Live after the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. That's just labor. That's just works. Praying all the time for somebody. Paul didn't seem to think so. Amen. And to desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk. How? How do we walk? By faith. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. There's the walking worthy again. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here Paul says, you walk worthy unto God and you please Him when you are fruitful in everything you do. When you're producing supernatural manifestation. When you're walking by faith and you're manifesting the promises, God says you're walking worthy. Paul says you're pleasing God. Amen. You please God when you walk by faith. With that in mind, look over at verse number, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us of us how you ought to walk, and to please God, so you would abound more and more. We exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us how you ought to walk, and to please God. We walk by faith, right? And here again says, when you walk by faith, you please God. When you walk as Paul is instructed, you please God because it's by faith. With that being in mind, then look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And probably everybody in here for the most part can quote this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. Without faith you cannot please God. So without learning to walk by faith, to progress and develop and become fruitful by faith, without the ability to walk and sow your life as a seed by faith, you cannot please God. Does anybody here want to please God? Do you want to get to heaven and God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Do you want to hear that? Then you're going to be required on this planet, in this lifespan, to walk by faith. It is not optional for the Christian. Never meant to be optional. And without learning to walk by faith, you can never progress anywhere in the kingdom. Remember Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Without abiding in me, without learning how to walk according to the word, you can never get to where God wants you. You can't take the first step. You can run about your entire lifespan doing all these good deeds out of the flesh, you know, what seems reasonable. You can try to be a nice person. You can go to church every time the doors are open. But if faith is not involved in it, are you following me? You've progressed nowhere. How do you go to church all your life without faith? By works. You're trying to earn something from God versus developing your knowledge of Him. Amen? Paul in Colossians, you know, we didn't keep reading, but he says, I need you as you walk into this to be strengthened with all might by His Spirit in your inner man. Develop, grow, increase, progress. Church is supposed to be spirit school for us. We should be receiving and learning and advancing in the kingdom as we come to church. Anybody want to go with God? Why wouldn't you? There's no other option to get anywhere. There is no other mode of transportation in the kingdom of God other than walking, running by faith. Amen? I mean, I like to believe there's Harley Davidsons in heaven, but in the realm of spirit, you can't jump on one and go anywhere. It's going to be by faith as you progress. It's taking steps of faith. That series of controlled falls where you trust the Word to catch you and you step out on what God says. And God says, when you do that, I can take you to where you want to be. But just all you're zipping around out of your own ability, your own wisdom, your own efforts, like, you know, running around like ants, getting nowhere. It's got to be by the Word. Got to be by faith. Are you still with me? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see this? He says, as you receive Jesus Christ, walk in Him. How did you receive Him? By faith. Says it right there. He says, progress as you started. You made your connection with God through faith. Now walk in it. Now progress in it. Now don't just camp out where you're at. See where you can go to take the next step. Always be looking for God. What can you stretch me into? What can you have me do at a higher level of faith? What can you have me receive by faith? What promise am I leaving left unclaimed, Lord God? Now this is not trying to stretch you, you know, to break you mentally. Or to make you feel like you're disappointing God. I'm just telling you, if it's not by faith, it's not producing pleasing results for God. Let God develop you. You will grow at the rate you desire the things of God. And he says in verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you after philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, not after the anointing. Beware that once you're saved, the philosophy doesn't try to move in. That, you know, religion doesn't try to take over and just try to get you to go through Christian motions versus faith development. He calls them vain deceit, powerless deceit. The enemy wants to get you into powerlessness, man's efforts, religious efforts, human reasonings versus believing the Word and stepping out on it. We are the just that are to live by faith. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 6. Well, let's back up verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Oh, there's you sowing yourself as a love seed. Amen. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. Here it says, if you say you abide in Jesus, anybody here want to abide in Christ? Then you should walk as he walked. How did Jesus walk? By faith. Everything he did was by faith. He walked on water by faith. He walked through the crowds by faith. He caught up in the clouds by faith. Amen. He was willing to make a whip and beat the money changers, knowing they would want to kill him, but he had faith in God's protection. He ministered by faith, and he raised himself from the dead by his own faith, prophesied his own resurrection. And we are to walk as he walked. We don't have to go to the cross. That's already been done. We have to accept everything he's made available. Receive it by faith. We should be stretching our mindsets to believe we can do the impossible. That we can accomplish the supernatural. That we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That we can cast out devils. That we can open blind eyes and we can raise the dead. We should believe that we can reestablish relationships wholly unto God. We should believe that we can cast the devil out of our households and out of our families, and all of our family, our households shall be saved. Amen. We should believe that our kids are set free from every entrapment of the enemy, of the world, and that they will be full of the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. They'll be taught of the Lord. We should be able to believe that God is going to fulfill his high call in our lives by faith. Yet the enemy wants to rock us to sleep and get us going through life's motions. Getting nowhere. Reminds me of Shakespeare. Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Lost everybody on that one, didn't I? Hallelujah. Just running in circles. Only faith can take you where God wants to take you. Amen. Believing, speaking, and standing on the Word of God. 3 John. I'm sorry, 2 John. Second John, verse 4, John says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Walking in truth. What's the truth? The Word. How do we walk? By faith. So John says, I rejoice when I found that my children have faith in the Word. They're progressing in faith by the Word of God. As we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Here's our command, that we love one another, right? And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. God's love is to walk by faith. After what he's declared. Love is to sow your life as a seed of faith as God opens up opportunities. Amen. It says that's what we've heard from the beginning, that we should walk in it. What God has shown to you, what he's revealed to you in the Word, use your faith and connect to it. And refuse worldly thinking and mentalities to take you out of what God has. Because you can live in blessing or you can live in curse. 3 John. verse 4. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, those I'm raising up, those I'm discipling, that they walk in truth. As a pastor, I want everybody in here to win. I want everybody to get great promotions, have the best jobs, run the city, drive the best cars. But if you don't do it by faith, it'll be temporal. My greatest joy is to hear that you're using the Word, accessing victory by it, walking in truth, according to the Word of God. Amen. Walking by faith in the Word. That's what we're after. That's what God's after. That's what's going to change the city. That's what's going to manifest the glory. Again, in Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, whoever reads his vision should run toward the vision, for the vision yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry wait for it. It shall surely come, right? The earth's going to be filled with glory. He's whoever reads it should run towards it. We don't get to the glory without learning how to walk and then run by faith. I would like to think just because we have a nice charismatic church here and everybody's coming and hearing great sermons, that we're just going to go into the glory by that. But God says it's going to be by faith. You want to know what takes faith? To pray in tongues. It takes faith. You have to believe the time you're spending praying in tongues, where you could be watching, you know, TV, could be watching the ball games, you have to believe that that praying in tongues is going to produce more for you than the TV. That shouldn't take very much faith. But it's amazing when you're in the middle of praying how much it tries to dominate your thinking. You want to know what's going to cause you to move into the higher levels of the anointing? Praying all night. Coming to all night prayer. It's going to be a seed you sow that God's going to multiply, return into your life. But as you're doing it, you're aware of that. But as you're getting ready to come, every excuse or distraction in the world rises up. Well, you got to do laundry. Those dirty clothes will be there tomorrow. Amen. I mean, just turn them trousers inside out, whatever you got to do, come anyway. We had a time in the pastor's meeting yesterday. Pastor Philip was teaching about moving from needs in your life, you know, believing for needs to move to believing for wants. What do you want? What do you desire? Jesus said, whatever you desire, pray you believe it, not what you need. And we have to move to the ability we can believe God for what we want above just what we need. And he made this statement, how many pair of pants do you need? How many shirts do you need? How many cars do you need? How many houses do you need? Then he said, how many pairs of underwear do you need? Pastor Lee says, well, we hope you have at least two. Listen, buy you another pair of underwear and come to all night prayer. The laundry will wait. The enemy is a master at telling you all the chores you need to do right before it's time to pray or get in the Word or come to church. You can't come to church. Did you see how long your grass is? You got to stay home and mow the grass. Get a goat and come to church. Because that grass will keep growing and growing and growing. Amen. It's always going to have to be mowed. And your mowing grass won't produce anything for you in the kingdom. Not that you shouldn't mow it, you follow me. But don't let it take you out of the things of the kingdom. We go to the glory. As we seek God, how can we apply ourselves to the Word? How can we live the Word? How can we grow in the Word? How can we manifest all the promises of the Word? And God said, as you do that, I'll pour out my blessing upon you. I'll bring the showers of blessing on those that are walking into it. Amen. Those who are positioning themselves for it. I'll shower it on you if you just get connected to my realm. Abide in the vine. Connect to me by faith. Live in this realm by walking in it. And we go into all that God has. Remember he told Joshua, walk throughout the land. All that you can walk into, everywhere the sole of your footstep, I've given that to you. What's he talking about? Where you can do it by faith. As far as you can stretch your faith, I'll give it to you. But if we don't learn to walk now, we won't have it later. Let me throw this out as well. I am convinced that tribulation is hitting the earth. Not just the great tribulation coming, but we're going to see some tribulating times before the rapture. Famine is in the land. And I believe those that have learned how to walk by faith now will soar through the times of trial. I had that vision a couple years ago, that speedboat going up the river. And everybody on the speedboat, there were revivalists party. And I mean, having a time with God. And behind them, 100 yards behind them, the entire river was collapsing and caving in and being sucked down. Nothing but destruction. But the boat was moving at a high enough speed, it was staying ahead of the destruction. And the Lord said, those that are using their faith now, I will keep ahead of the collapse that's going to take place. And they will enjoy the ride. Those that don't learn faith now will get caught up in the collapse. It wasn't Christians versus non-Christians. It was faith revivalists versus those who will not apply themselves to faith. And the same collapse that's going to catch up the world and the wicked is going to also catch up the unbelieving Christian. The non-practicing. The Christian not applying faith. It's going to happen. Well, it ain't happened yet. I understand. Because of God's mercy and grace, we have an opportunity to develop. But there's coming a day that collapse happens in many different areas. And you want to make sure you've learned to walk now by faith. So when it happens, you're not saying, "Oh God, I believe now." You'll be trying to believe, you know, to walk on water when you haven't learned how to, you know, keep soap out of your eyes. I don't know where that came from. We'll believe it spoke to somebody, amen. Somebody was saying, "I got soap in my eyes today. How did it?" We choose whether we will follow the good shepherd or follow the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We choose whether we'll walk by our own ability and live out of the flesh, or use our faith to escape the world system and live in God's system of blessing. And let me make it clear, you cannot compromise what you know is right and live in the blessing. As we mentioned Sunday morning, you cannot intentionally disobey God and then play the grace card. Well, I'm under grace. You're in intentional sin. And God expects you. You don't have to do it immediately. But He expects you to start progressing to get out of it. Amen? You know, if you're on some type of, you know, in bondage, some type of chemical or pornography, start weaning yourself off of it. We'll just shut down a lot of it. Be the best. If you're in an illicit relationship, start positioning yourself to get out of it. Do what you got to do to get where God would have you. If you've been given way over to darkness, choose not to get out of it. Just get out of it. It will kill you. I've been around for a few years now. I know I look 25, but I'm actually older than that. Quite a bit older. And I have, as David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I've never seen those that intentionally disobey God be blessed. Never saw it. I've seen the wicked live in some level of blessing, but never the righteous that choose to be wicked. You can't. You can't violate the Word of God and think it's going to produce any other results than what the Word of God declares. And the prosperity of the wicked, the Bible makes clear, is temporary. For the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. But afterward, produces death. Shake free. Just shake free. I know the night I got saved. Understand, I was raised an atheist. I was raised a heathen. When I got saved, I was a drunk, recreational drug user. Got to recreate pretty often, though. Running around everywhere, you know, but, well, not after I got married, but understand, previously lived in that lifestyle. Anything that was out there, we were in it. And the night I got saved, I said, God, if I believe the Bible's true, I believe you're genuine, and I know I shouldn't drink. So I quit drinking tonight. Shouldn't do drugs, I quit drugs tonight. Shouldn't be, you know, involved in that other stuff. I quit even thinking about that tonight. Help me. Help me, God, be free of all this. And that night, 28 years ago, I was set free from alcohol, drugs. I've never desired another woman in my life other than my wife, period. Never even contemplated it. God set me free from everything. He'll set you free. If you just choose to do it. Just say, I am going to be set free tonight. I'm starting over with God. God, help me. And He will do it. Then just don't be like the dog goes back to his vomit or the pig to the wallow. Go after God. Stand your feet with me. Let's worship God here for a minute. See how He wants to close out the service.